There's a story of a man who was walking to the city one day, and he met death as it was walking to the city. And he asked death, "What are you going to do today?" And death replied, "I'm going to take 100 people." "That's horrible," the man said, and yet death said, "That's the way it is, that's what I do." Well, the man hurried off to town to warn everyone that he could about death's plan, and as evening fell, he met death again on the way out of town, and he said, "You told me you were going to only take 100, and somehow you took 1,000. And death replied, "No, I only took 100. Worry took the others." In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, verse 31 to 34, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Don't worry, Jesus said, about food and about drink and about clothes and about those important things that somehow we do worry about. I was preparing for this message, and I consider, what do I worry about? What do I spend a lot of time thinking about if I don't want to use the word worry? Well, I think about things like getting older and maybe shouldn't I be retiring one of these days pretty soon, and am I ready for that? And I think, no, I'm not ready for that. But somehow that lingering thought. My mother, as I've spoken with her over the holidays, wonders, what's my purpose at 90 years old? I still have good health and strength, and I'm living here in this place where I'm safe and secure, but my husband passed away, and what am I supposed to do now? And maybe that's her worry. Or maybe we worry about the loss of our power or abilities, or in most cases we worry about tomorrow or something that's going to happen down the road. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, and yet we often do. There's a difference, I think, between worry and preparation. Worry is kind of inactive, sort of afraid and not very hopeful and in some ways destructive. Preparation thinks about the future, but isn't consumed by it. Plans for and thinks about and knows that things are going to change and the winters of life will come, and so prepares and yet realizes there are things that are not in our control. Worry makes that plan and then keeps worrying anyway. Is it the right plan? Is it the best thing? Should we do that or not? And so Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. He says that we need to let today be our focus. Tomorrow has enough worry of its own. And if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to read with me Psalm 90, and one of my favorites as well, as I look at this one often. The psalm says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born. Or you brought forth the earth and the world." And the psalmist's mind, the mountains and the earth, those are the oldest things that he can think of. The things that were created first, the oldest things. Before that, he said, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And down in verse 9, he's thinking throughout this psalm about the brevity of life and how quickly things go by. In verse 9, he says, "All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan," or a sigh, some of the translations say. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The psalmist thinks about life in a general way, and yet looking back maybe on life. In verses 6 and 7, 1,000 years in your sight are like a moment that's passed. And how quickly in an eternal way things that happen are brief. But in a lifespan maybe longer. The span of our life, 70 years or 80 if due to strength, and then we fly away. I like that old country song, I'll fly away, oh glory, when I die, hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away. And the psalmist says we fly away. But life has its trouble and its sorrow. And if we focus on that, we can get pretty gloomy and pretty despondent. But then there's that prayer for guidance. And so the psalmist says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to consider those days. Teach us to gain that heart of wisdom so that we can make something good out of today. So that we can use today for something that's honoring to God. And so the heart of wisdom that we pray for is a heart that can learn how to make the best of today, to make today amazing. And so as we enter a new year and a new decade and a new day, I find in these passages three lessons at least, or there's more, but for preachers, you got to have three points, right? Or maybe we used to have be three points in a psalm or a poem or something, but I don't have a poem for you. But I do have 3 points. And the first is, God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to trust Him for what we need. To trust Him for what we need. Now, if you're like me, you've heard that commercial, right? Only pay for what you need. The problem with that is, you don't know what you need until you've already had the accident or the problem or the issue. And so how do you know what you need to pay for? It's a gimmick to get you to buy in maybe and pay for less than you really need. Then they don't have to cover you, you see. But how do you know what you need? Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat, or what you'll drink, or what you'll wear. And then he says, your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows already what we need. He teaches us to work, and he's given us talents and passions and people and abilities. And he doesn't want us to waste our time and our energy worrying, but to trust him. And so Jesus is saying, seek first God and His kingdom and His righteousness, and these other things will be given to you as well. God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to trust Him for what we need. And a second lesson, God doesn't want us to waste our energy and our time chasing after worldly kingdoms, as the pagans do, He says, and miss out on the eternal. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put in first priority the eternal things and the world's things, the things that we think we need so badly, those will fall into place. There's an old story. If you're younger than me, you probably never saw a circus parade, maybe never even saw the circus, I don't know. But there was a day when the circus was a big event. And when the circus came to town, there was a parade and a big tent and music and animals and all kinds of, of things. And there was a little boy who worked on the farm. And he wanted to go to the circus. And so he asked his dad if he could have some money to go to the circus. And on that Saturday morning, he got up early and he did his chores. And dad gave him some money to go to the circus. And so he went to the parade and he watched as the animals went by. And he watched as the clown went by. And he watched as the master of ceremonies, you know, the ringmaster, went by. And then he watched as some of the other folks that, you know, clean up after the animals. And he saw all of those things. And finally, he saw one person that sort of seemed like the last person in the parade. And he reached in his pocket and he handed that man his dollar. And then he went home. He saw the parade, but he didn't know to stay for the circus. And so he missed all of the other part. And how many times do people seem to focus on here and now and this world and all of this stuff, and they're watching the parade, but they're missing the big event, that eternal thing that's still to come. God wants us not to miss the big event. And how often we settle for so much less than God's eternal. And how often we're disappointed when these worldly things don't turn out the way we want. When something doesn't turn out like we planned. And yet God can take those things that didn't turn out right and even turn those for our good. Because he knows what we need. And so he teaches us and he tells us, look for the bigger things and the eternal things and the important things, and these other things, they'll fall into place just fine. A third lesson is God doesn't want us to worry about tomorrow. He wants us to make today amazing. Today. There are lots of verses in the Bible about today. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number today. Over in the Psalms it says, give us, or that's the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The Psalm says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paul writes, or the Hebrews, in the letter of Hebrews, it says, encourage one another daily as it's called today, so that you may not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The word today is there over and over again. God wants us to make today amazing and good and godly. So how do we, as believers, make today good, godly, amazing? Well, I have lots of suggestions, and you're creative and can hear God's voice as well, but how do I make today amazing? Well, plan something. It might not turn out the way you planned. It probably won't exactly, but if you don't plan something, then how do you make it amazing? Maybe it's an outing. Go for a walk in the woods. Or maybe it's a book to read that you've been waiting on. Or maybe it's a phone call that you need to make, or a letter that you've been putting off that needs to be written. Maybe it's simply calling someone up on the phone and talking to them for a little bit. You can plan something. Or maybe when you plan something, you do something for somebody else. Somebody who's lonely, or somebody who needs a friend, or somebody who is going through a tough time. And you do something for them, and it blesses them, but it also blesses you. Paul in Colossians reminds us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And so how do we focus on God's peace? Well, he goes on and says, sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. You can make today amazing by just maybe adding a little music to your life. We have a great church custodian. I don't know where she. Oh, she's back there somewhere. Anyway, sometimes when I need to find her, all I got to do is listen for the music, because so often she puts on that Christian music, and so we can find Wendy because there's music, and that's a blessing to me. That's an encouragement. If you need a little music in your life, then find Wendy. She'll help you get some on your phone there so that you can listen to that as you go through your job or your work. But somehow add something to your day. Make today amazing. Maybe it's just a little music. Maybe to cultivate a thankful heart. You know, at the end of the day, to stop and think about the ways that you've been blessed. What are those things that have happened to you today? Those things that God provided in your life. Remember those times when you were blessed by a loved one or by a stranger. Like about a year and a half ago, Renda and I were on vacation in West Virginia. And we went into this little restaurant. It was kind of in the back of a building. And we went in and found a seat, just a small little place. And we sat down and ordered our food, and then we bowed our heads to pray, and then we ate our meal, and then we finished, and we began to wait on the server to come and bring us our check so we could pay and leave. And we waited and waited, and eventually the server came and said, "Well, I want you to know that your bill has been paid, and we don't know, or I'm not supposed to know who paid it." And here we are in the hills of West Virginia, didn't know anybody there, but somebody blessed us. And somehow I still am thankful. I still sense and remember what God did on that day, the blessing of that. Just some stranger that decided to pay our bill. Make today amazing by doing something for somebody else, or by making a plan, or by choosing to walk with Jesus today. And maybe you don't hear him audibly, or maybe you don't even sense his presence or feel him there, but his Holy Spirit is with us. And as we learn to practice his presence and enjoy the journey with him, there's a sense that every day is a day with Jesus. So many ways to make today amazing. And so be creative. Do something outrageous, or do something simple. Listen for the Holy Spirit's suggestion as he shows you someone or brings to mind that person that needs a friend. Make today amazing by walking with Jesus. Yes, today will have its problems. There will be troubles and trials and heartaches and things that make you mad. Maybe you need a trouble tree. Anybody have a trouble tree? There was a carpenter who was hired to restore an old farmhouse, and he had had a rough day, his first day on the job. A flat tire had made him an hour late to work. His electric saw quit, and then his ancient pickup truck refused to start. So the homeowner drove him home. And he sat there in his stony silence on the passenger side of the truck. And then on arriving home, the carpenter invited the homeowner in to meet his family. And as they walked toward the front door, this old carpenter paused in front of this tree, and he touched the branches with his hands. And then he walked into the house, and an amazing transformation took place as he smiled at his children and he kissed his wife. And he seemed to be a whole different person from that guy who rode in stony silence home. And then after he introduced the homeowner to his family, they went back out. And the homeowner was curious. Why the transformation? This gloomy guy all of a sudden became happy and full of life. And so he asked, and he asked the carpenter, what was that thing you did in front of the tree? And he said, oh, that's my trouble tree. I know I can't help having troubles at work, on the job, and I know they're gonna be there, but they don't belong at home with my family and my wife. And so every day I just hang them up on that tree before I go in the house. And then in the morning I pick them up and take them back with me. But the funny thing is, in the morning when I come out to pick them up, there ain't near as many as I seem to have left the day before. How do we make today amazing? Maybe we need a trouble tree as well. Most of all, we just have to be intentional. We just need to walk by faith and say, God, this is a day you've made and you've given me, and I can worry about tomorrow, and I can be all frustrated about things that aren't going the way I want, but I can also choose today to honor you and bless others and make it an amazing day. And so that's my challenge for you today, but also for the year to come. Make each day amazing. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are so good to us. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Teach us to count each and every one as precious and a blessing, so that instead of worrying about tomorrow or next year or the things that are to come, we can concentrate on making this one a good one. And Lord, there will be troubles and heartaches and disappointments and things that make us mad. Lord, may we lay them at the foot of the cross and pick up instead grace and mercy and joy and blessing and peace and maybe a little music. Teach us, Lord, to make today amazing. In your name we pray.